So it was 2011. I was doing an internship here at the church, and Becky walked into the kids and youth ministry office and asked if I would like to join the ministry team the following year in the kids ministry role. Now, growing up, I'd always wanted to be a youth minister like Becky, but I think along the way had some of those untrue subconscious messages of, oh, but I don't know the Bible enough, oh, but I'm not spiritual enough, you know, pastors, I really know the Bible and close to God. Becky's giving me a thumbs down. I think I had some of those messages going on, so I said to Becky, oh, I'm not sure. So I took a few months to have a think about it. And over those few months, God started to give me some vision, some dreams, some hopes, a growing love for what the kids' ministry of the church could be like. And some of those untrue things started to ebb away as God started to increase that passion and, I guess, invitation in my heart. And so I said yes, and it changed the course of my life, joining the ministry team. I had 9 wonderful years on team before I had my kids, and that moment of Becky and the board of elders at the time inviting me onto the team changed the course of my life. Because growing up in year 12, I remember I was looking through the course book, flicking through the booklet going, what course will I do? What am I passionate about? And I really couldn't land anywhere, because I think when some of those subliminal messages were happening, actually God was calling me to prepare for ministry, I guess. And so it was what I might call a holy disruption. And I wonder if you've had one in your life, or many, moments where a person, an event, maybe a whisper from God, maybe a conversation happened that steered the course of your life in a really positive way. Today, our focus is God is close to the brokenhearted. 2 weeks ago, Becky invited us into the Advent season to look at Jesus, who would save us as a baby from sin and darkness in the world and the political climate at the time that he came into. Last week, Simon spoke about the wise men and their recognition of Jesus. And so today we are looking at the shepherds and how God entered a forsaken, dirty part of the world to meet with the shepherds and invite them to meet Jesus, which changed the course of their life. A holy disruption, as we might call it, which changed the course of our lives too. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to watch a video with a summary of the story. So let's pray, and we'll delve into the word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather in your presence a week leading up to Christmas, and I imagine in this room there is so much filling our minds of to-do lists and things that are coming up. But right now we choose to put those things aside and tune in to you, because we don't want to miss what you want to say to us today. We don't want to miss what you, Holy Spirit, are doing in our lives in this Christmas season. And so as we read this scripture, it's not just a Christmas story that we hear as if we are listening to any old book. We are delving into a living, breathing scripture that has your fingerprints and your breath in it. And so we come to you with open minds, spirits, to come afresh to this very familiar passage, to look at this holy disruption of you entering the world and changing the course of our lives forever. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Wow. There is so much in this passage. Luke, the author, was a meticulous historian who recorded the facts of the Christian message. When we read this story, it can sometimes feel like we're reading about just a group of people going to the shops to get ice cream. But if you actually look at this passage, there are many, many big, wholly disruptive moments. And we might be wondering, Luke, are you missing a few details? There's the crazy wild birth story of a baby being born in a smelly barn. I feel like that would go in Australian birth stories today. And I'm sure Luke, as a doctor, was interested in how Mary and the baby were going after. However, the purpose of this narrative is that it's a collection of facts to set the tone for Jesus' life and ministry. But I want us to pause and look at quite a few holy disruptions that happen in this passage. There's a census, an upheaval where everyone has to travel for days to go back to their hometown. Mary was pregnant at this point, traveling on a donkey for 4 days. She gave birth in a barn. Shepherds, seemingly nobodies, were visited by an angel and then a whole heavenly host after that. They leave their sheep to go see Jesus, and they become some of the first worshippers and evangelists of Jesus. It's easy to read this passage as a familiar Christmas story, but these are really big, significant moments. And so I'm going to invite us to put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherds. Now, is anyone here a night owl? Likes to stay up late? Yep, can get up after staying up late. This would come in handy if you were a shepherd. You're outside all night, you're alert, you're keeping watch, you're guarding your sheep against thieves and wolves. Like, you're on high alert. You want to be a night person in this job. You have a job, but it's not a very highly regarded job. You are criticized by religious leaders for not keeping all the religious rules, like having a Sabbath, having one day off. You are accused of being dishonest and thieving because you're accused of stealing of some of the increase of the flock. You weren't allowed in a judicial role. You weren't allowed to be a witness in matters of the law. Essentially, you're considered not trustworthy. And you're up all night, probably sleeping all day, like night shift. And you were also banned from entering the temple because you were considered unclean from being around animals and animal waste. Your life is very unglamorous, and you're not likely to be chosen to be invited to the King of Heaven's first birthday party. And you might be thinking, this is just another night, another ordinary night of our work out in the field. Then suddenly, an angel, a heavenly being, breaks into the darkness of the night to meet you. And I imagine it's not your Tinkerbell type little fairy coming in, but a blinding light. You know, anyone around kids, you might have had a torch shone into your eyes before. I imagine it is this radiant, sky-filling light that comes to meet these nobodies in a field. And they say, don't be afraid, which angels often say throughout scripture because you would be terrified. They say, I bring you, the shepherds, good news that will bring you joy for all people, that a saviour has been born and you'll find him as a baby. Pretty much saying, hey you, God sees you. This is good news for you and we want you to come and see. I imagine you look at each other, the other shepherds around you, you drop your staffs and you hurry. It says they hurry. They hurry to Bethlehem to meet this baby. You go to the manger and you see this newborn Jesus in a feeding trough. The smell, I imagine, would be like that of the Melbourne show Sheep Shed. It might smell like hay and animal droppings, but you don't care because God has just visited you and this baby is said to bring joy for the world. You, shepherds, become the first worshippers and evangelists in history. You're in the history book. A holy disruption. A changed life for these shepherds. God put on skin and came into the neighborhood in the smelliest place to maybe the smelliest people. Imagine if Jesus had have arrived as a baby in a palace or the Hilton Hotel. That would seem fitting, right, for royalty? And it would have that distance of, oh yes, they're born in comfort, probably away from everyday people like us. Imagine if that had have been the case. Instead, God stepped out of regency, out of royalty, to be close to all people. It reminds me of, now I wasn't around at this point, but when the Queen did her first televised Christmas message, which went out to TVs in every home, that was royalty stepping out of the palace to meet you and me in our home. Some of you might remember that. God's kingdom first came into the dirtiest place to an unexpected people. When I was thinking about the shepherds, it took me to the whole of scripture, shepherds running throughout. Moses and David were called from being with their sheep to lead God's people. In Psalm 23, we know that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, in him I have all I need. Jesus himself called himself the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And here in this passage, God meets the shepherds and invites them to Jesus. It is so purposeful what God did. And so it shows us that God is close to the brokenhearted. Now, everything in our society tells us to move away from suffering, right? Move out of neighborhoods where there's high crime. Move away from people who don't look like you. But the gospel calls us to lean towards suffering, to open ourselves up to the stranger. And that's what Advent is about. It's a reminder of how Jesus put on flesh, came into a barn, showing up in a forsaken part of the world so that everyone can access God. A holy disruption. And it speaks to me that wherever we are, we can bring God nearer by noticing and looking for the broken spirits, the broken hearts around us. Now, Jesus came from Nazareth, and he knew suffering as soon as he was born in the middle of genocide as a baby refugee. And all through his life was marked with suffering right up until his death. In our hurting global world, it can be overwhelming to hear of the devastation and horror in our world. And the hard part of life is that suffering is a part of our life. That is a certainty. Yet as we grieve and as we weep for our hurting world and our hurting neighborhoods, we know that God's heart also breaks for the brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Hebrew word for close is korob, which means close to, approaching, or nearby. And the word for brokenhearted is shobar, which means desolate, grieving, smashed, shattered, or broken into pieces. So God is approaching. God is near us when we are brokenhearted, grieving, shattered, broken into pieces. An example of this in scripture was when Joshua was about to enter the promised land. They were grief-stricken at the loss of Moses, their leader. But God said to them, I will never leave you or forsake you. God shows that he is close in our brokenheartedness. God designed us to be close relationship with him. He stepped out of heaven to draw near to us, which means that when people around us in our lives are hurting and suffering and there is a broken heart, we can pray that for them. So many times when I've been sitting with someone praying and I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to say, this verse is one that we can pray. Say, God, we know you are close to the brokenhearted. We know you are close to this person right now. We know you are near. Please draw near to them. If you're someone who's wondering, how do I pray for the global world and what's happening around us? There's an online prayer group every Wednesday morning at 8:30 on Zoom, and I know that they pray for each other and the world, because sometimes getting together and drawing near to God helps us to know how to pray. And in our own life today, if you have a broken part of your life, it might be a job loss, it might be a family challenge, whatever you are going through, God is near and wants to be close to your broken spirit. Alf, one of our faithful people in this church, he's been through a lot of health issues lately, and he said that God is his carer. I love that phrase. It's not saying that he's going to get through it easily, but in his suffering, he sees God to be his carer, tending to him. God isn't absent from places or people, seemingly forgotten or insignificant. A name for God sometimes people use is Elroy, which means God remembers. God remembers his promises and covenants with his people, and he remembers you. And he knows what your life is like and wants to meet you there today. Christmas reminds us that God came into the world as a holy disruption to make it better. And Jesus didn't say he was coming to bring political peace. He said came to bring peace for us with God. And so as you come into this Christmas week, as we all come into this Christmas week, may we be aware of little holy disruptions where we see the light, peace, hope, and joy of God around us. And may we also look for the brokenhearted and hurting and be a prayerful presence for them. As we go from here, I'm going to give you a candy cane. Some of them are broken because Jake stepped on a lot of them. Imagine it to look like this, a shepherd's crook. God is our shepherd, guiding and leading us. And also, people point out, it's a J for Jesus. Not everyone likes candy canes, so if you don't, you'll probably have an extra long reminder that God is with you. But take this candy cane, and as you go this week, may be reminded that God is close to the brokenhearted. God stepped out of royalty to come to meet you and me, and to look to those around us of how we might be a little bit of a representation of Jesus, a guide, a prayerful presence. Let's pray. Jesus, our good shepherd, you are our guide, our leader. You tend to us with the tenderness of God, a God who is close to the brokenhearted, who is compassionate, slow to anger, abiding in love. In this moment, may you bring to mind people in our corners who are brokenhearted. We pray for them right now. God, we know that you are close to the brokenhearted. You are El Roy, the God who remembers. For our hurting world, we pray, God, for you to be close to the brokenhearted, where we feel a distant away sometimes. We know that you are not. You are not absent from any part of this world. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, for advocates, for justice, for a movement of God that you can do the impossible. And we believe that. And this Christmas, we remember that you stepped into the neighborhood, bringing good news of joy for all people. So we pray against anything that might take away that joy this week. And may we live in the joy that God has come and you are near. I pray that you would bless and keep each person here. Shine your face upon them. And Holy Spirit, would you pour an outpouring of your presence right now? Fill our spirit, our mind, and our soul. And as we go, we walk with you, our good shepherd. And in you we have everything we need. Amen.